Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this month's episode of For the Future, our series on females in motorsport. Today, we are so excited to bring you a conversation with another incredible individual in the F1 Academy world, Neus Santamaria. Just a quick intro. So currently you are the race director for F1 Academy. You've been a race director since 20 years old, getting your racing director's license at 18, which is crazy. And you've spent time in many different areas of motorsport, often being the first female race director across the series you've been in. So we are big fans of what you do. Welcome to the podcast and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So first off, let's define what a race director is. Can you give us a high-level understanding of what your role entails?
Okay, so as race directors, our main focus on a racing weekend and what on a day-to-day basis is the safety, not only of the drivers on track, because that's always the main focus, but also of all the marshals and all the people involved on a racing weekend. So that's our main focus, basically on the sporting side as well. But our main focus is safety on and off track of everyone involved.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I imagine it's a lot of working with marshals and local track officials and that sort of thing. What motivated you to get your race director's license at only 18? And what was that process like?
So ever since I was a kid, motorsport has been like a huge part of my family. My dad was a marshal since the very first day that they opened the racetrack here in Barcelona. And he was involved in a lot of rallies, a lot of motorsport events. So for me, growing up as a kid, it was the normal thing to be doing on a weekend. So on weekdays, I went to school. And on weekends, if I had a free weekend, I would go with my dad wherever he would go to enjoy motorsport. So I remember when I was a kid and going to races, telling my dad, like, when I grow up, just tell me how old do I need to be? Because I want to be sitting here with you in race control. Because for me at first, I was super sure, like, I want to be sitting there. I want to be involved. And I was sitting there, but the question was always, how old do I need to be sitting here? and in the end, we got into talks with the Spanish Federation, and they said, you can be 16 to apply for an official license, but you need to ask permission to your parents. They need to write a formal letter to the Spanish Federation saying, why do you want to take your license, and that they approve. And of course, when I went home, and I told my mom and dad, like, they told me we have to do it this way. My dad was 100% in, like, yeah, let's do it. And the only requirement my mom gave was, you can be a marshal, but you cannot go on track. If you go on track, you're not allowed. Wow. And at first I was like, no, I wanted to be on track. I wanted to try being a marshal at a marshal post. But she was 100% on, if you're going on track, you're not doing it. If you sit in race control, then it's fine with me. So I jumped into race control, helping them out with papers, communications with the teams, and things like that. And then when I saw it on like a weekend-to-weekend basis, I knew that was my place, and I knew I didn't need to try going on track, sitting on a car, doing anything else, because I knew sitting in race control was my thing.
That's so great. You can be thankful to your mom and your dad for different reasons then.
Yeah.
That's so great. And I imagine they're super supportive of you now, and I'm sure very proud of all you've done. So that's so great.
Yeah. They are always the first ones that when I say, oh, it's really bad, like I have to do 30 races this year, my dad always says, like, if I could, I would join you for 30 races and I would do 30 races with you. So they are the first ones that are fully in with my motorsport career, for me doing every single thing that I can do. And they are the first ones to support me always.
Oh, that's so great. So for the role itself, what is the most exciting part of that role for you? Sitting in race control, thinking about safety, what are some of the most exciting parts of it?
I think the best part of a racing weekend, even if it's like sporting wise for the drivers, it's probably, someone will say it's probably their worst part of the weekend. For me, the best part of the weekend is when we have drivers' briefings on Fridays. Because in the end, that's usually the only moment in which we are all of the drivers and all of the sporting side, everyone's together, and we can discuss everything that will happen during the weekend, everything that happened in previous weekends, and how do we want to approach everything. So that's, for me, that's always the most important part of the racing weekend, because it's when we sit with them, when we tell them what they are supposed to be doing, what will happen if they act different in different ways. And for me, that's always the most important part of the weekend. Then, of course, giving the race starts wherever we are, that's always like the high moment of the weekend, because it's like all of the pressure is on the person who's going to push that button to give the race start. And that's always like the hectic moment of the weekend. But I really love driver's briefings, because it's the only moment of the weekend in which we all sit together, everyone's on the same page, we can discuss everything. Because after that, if we see the drivers in our offices, it's always because there's been an issue, there's been a problem, or there's been something that we didn't like. So driver's briefing is the best part of the weekend always.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I think everybody probably agrees how important safety is, but I bet people have differing ideas of how to achieve that and what approaches to take. So I'm sure that can be difficult at times. But I want to talk a little bit about working with local officials. I'm sure that changes very much track to track. What does that look like? I'm sure it keeps the job fun and on your toes a bit, but does it vary a lot based off of where you're racing, who you're working with, and how you approach that?
It's really different from racetrack to racetrack, because in the end, we are all people. And I think there's a huge part of culture on it. In the end, I'm Spanish, which means if we come to Barcelona, everything's great. We can understand each other perfectly. But I think language is a huge barrier when you go to places. So in the end, if you go to places where more or less with your language or trying to understand them, you can understand what everyone's doing and what everyone's saying. Those are the weekends that are usually the easiest, because in the end, if we have an issue on the track, the local people are the first ones to know it, and they need to be able to transmit that information to you. But I think that in places where the country is way more different and the languages are more complicated, for example, in Hungary, or you go to Germany, in which if you don't speak German, you're just sitting inside race control hearing German the whole time, or people shouting, and you think, because that I know that happens, for example, when they come, when there's people who come to Spain. In Spain, it's like that. It's within our culture and our way of speaking. People tend to shout a lot. Even if there's no issue on track, someone will shout on the radio. And if you don't understand Spanish, you're shocked at first, because you hear someone shouting and you think there's an issue. Because it's like that. It depends on voice tones most of the time. So you hear someone shouting and you're alert. Okay, something's going on. And you need to be sitting with someone who says, no, it's fine. Don't worry, they are just shouting, saying something. So I think always language is the biggest issue wherever we go. You always try on the very first day to find who's the person who speaks better English on their team, even if it's not the person in charge. Because even if it's not the person in charge, that person can be useful to you and to their team as well, to be the person in contact between one team and the other. But I think nowadays we are really used to that. And in all of the sporting teams that I work, there's so many people that speak so many different languages. And even if we go like to a small country, you will find someone within the team, even some of the drivers who speak that language. And if you have like a huge thing, for example, we went to Zandvoort and we had an issue, and the technician who was explaining the issue to us only spoke Dutch. And in the end, like, we were there like looking at him, and I remember telling one of my colleagues, don't worry, there's one of the team managers who's Dutch, let's just call him, put him on speaker, like they will understand each other.
Live translation.
He will translate for us. So in the end, you need to find like those people within your team and try to make it happen, because in the end, that's it. Like, communication is always the key, and even more in this job, that you need to know everything right away when it happens. So that's always the main issue. But also, once you go to a racetrack, and for example, I was in Monza last weekend, and the first time someone tried to speak English with me, I told them, oh, I speak Italian if you want. And they were like, oh, okay, perfect. Like, we'll just go fully Italian with you. I was like, okay, if I don't understand like some of the specifics, I will just tell you, like, just talk to me slow, we'll get there. And it's that communication is always like the main thing wherever we go.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So how many languages do you speak? English, Spanish, Italian?
English, Spanish, Italian. I speak Catalan as well because I'm from Barcelona. And then I understand, I don't want to say everything, because if then some of my colleagues listen to it, they will speak full French to me. But I understand most of the French if it involves racing. If they are talking about something else, I'm completely lost. But if they are speaking about things about racing, I can understand most of what they're saying.
That's awesome. That's a very niche understanding of the French language, but I'm sure very useful for your purposes. So let's talk about the inaugural F1 Academy season. Would love to hear some highlights from you. What have been some of the highlights? What have you had any kind of crazy moments? I would love to dive into the first season.
It has been an amazing season. I remember when they first called me to say if I wanted to join the championship, I said yes right away. And I tried to work on my calendar, tried to fit all of the races in just so I could do it. And we've had like really good races. I remember the Monza weekend was hectic. And even joining different championships has allowed us, well, not only us, also the drivers, to get to know different championships, different ways of working. And like schedule wise, it's been crazy. We've done so many things. We've had that, like, really nice races, really nice activities out of the races. And it has been like amazing to see them, how they interact with people. I remember I think it was in Zandvoort, we did an autograph session in the paddock. And I remember we were sitting in the office and I told my colleagues, like, let's just go to the paddock and ask for autographs of the girls. They were like, no, we cannot do that. And I was like, let's just go out. Like, we'll see the queue of everyone there waiting for them. If there's not a lot of people, we will just go there. Like, hi, can you sign my pass also for me? And we went there thinking, they will think we are so stupid that we are coming here to get autographs from them when we know them and we can do that on a daily basis. We can go to the briefing room and just ask them to sign papers for us. But we did all of the queues, team by team, asking all of the girls to sign for our passes. And there were some of the girls, like I remember Maite Cáceres' face, like she just looked up, so it was us, and she was so shocked, like, no, really, like, you really want my autograph? And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, we came here, this is our pass, just do it really small, so all of the 15 names fit in, because our pass was so small. And I was like, just do it really small, so the 15 of you can do it. And I think it's moments like that, like when you see them, all of the people, all of the kids that go to see them and ask questions, ask for pictures, I think that's when you realize we are doing something really huge with it. And it's not only, because in the end, it's not only the drivers, it's the drivers. Then you also see the team managers, you see mechanics, you see everyone, and everyone's really involved in the project. And I think we are not only portraying that women can be drivers, but it's also that, like, women can be race directors. They can be the chief engineer of one of our teams. They can be team managers, they can be also our sporting director. So I think we are not only putting the focus on the drivers, but putting the focus on how everyone can be involved in motorsport in different places.
Yeah, we love that so much about F1 Academy. And we're excited to see that continue and to see it grow with more co-location, with a lot more F1 involvement next year, with nominating drivers. What are you excited for as the series grows into next season and beyond?
I think we have a huge platform, and now even more with Discover Your Drive, we have a huge platform for the young kids, the young girls, to see that they can step in, they can start into karting. And it's not only you can try out karting for fun, it's you can try out karting because from there you can step into a formula, you can go into like other championships, other series, and for them to see like a clear pathway to get to where our girls in F1 Academy are, or the drivers in F3, F2, potentially in F1 someday. So I think our work needs to be super constant, and in the end it's that pushing, and not only focusing on drivers, but focusing on how everyone can be involved in motorsport in very different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, friends, it's festival and concert season, and you know it's all about the boots this year. That's why you need to make Tecovas your number one place for festival style this spring. And don't forget to shop their seasonal and limited edition offerings, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. We love Tecovas. They have a first wear comfort, which basically means there's no break-in period. It's the best thing ever. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's really no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store though, just visit tecovas.com, tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. We all need a little extra health boost sometimes, and Fleur Marché makes it easy for us to supercharge our wellness. Their botanical wellness patches have been such a fun addition to our routine. We just stick them on wherever we want. They have them for sleep, relaxation, focus, and other things. And the patch delivers ingredients to your body in a subtle but effective way, and the results last up to 12 hours. Fleur Marché also has botanical gummies and their new organic nutritional powder Green Machine. They only use the best ingredients and are tested for potency, contaminants, and heavy metals before and after production.
And one of our favorite things, we also love that the company is founded and inspired by women with the mission of helping us feel 100% every single day so that we can have full energy and crush it every day. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with promo code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. Orders over $50 also get free shipping. Go to Fleur Marché, FLEURMARCHE.com. Use code FORTHEGIRLS for 20% off your first order.
So what's it like being part of a series kind of from the ground and building that project up? I imagine there are a lot of learnings. Everybody's getting to know each other. You're becoming a family, all of that. What is it like being part of the project kind of from the ground?
It's been great from day one, because I think all of us on the sporting side, media side, everyone has been like super involved in the project, and everyone has been like wanting to find the ways for the championship to grow, for the girls to grow. And the teams have been working really good together with us in order to make the championship as professional as we could, of finding the right ways. Because in the end, it's a new championship, it's new regulations, ways of doing. We've done every single race weekend with different championships, which has meant being in the paddock or being in boxes, having really different timetables. And we've had to adapt a lot during the season. And I think it's a work that without everyone being super involved in doing regulations, checking procedures, and doing everything, we would not have been able to do it. Because I remember the first meeting that I did with Delphine, who is our sporting manager, first meeting I did with her before starting the season, the first thing she told me was, read our regulations. If you want to change something, just tell me, we'll change it.
Wow.
And I remember telling her, like, no, like, you've wrote these regulations, you've spent so much time doing it, I'm not going to step in and say, you need to change all of this. And she said, no, but you have the knowledge from different championships, so maybe you see something. And I want you, like, she wanted me and all of the stewards to just question everything written down, like, okay, why are we doing this way? How are we checking this? How are we checking that? Before we got to the first race and had an issue with something that was writing. Because in the end, it's that we want to make the championship as easy in terms of regulations for the teams to be like as similar as Formula 3 as possible. Because in the end, we want these girls and these teams to learn to get to Formula 3. Yeah. So it's nonsense to make regulations that like have nothing to do with F3 regulations. In the end, you want them to learn as much to step into the following championship. And I think we've done a really good work with all of the teams, with all of the sporting team to help everyone and to make a really good first season. And also not only to do a good first season, but to learn from what we've done this first season and apply it to next year. Because in the end, next year, in terms of championship, it will be way different because joining Formula One for the whole season makes it easy and hard at the same time because it will be the same people always, same championships. So we will only need to find out how one championship works in order for us to adapt, and it will not be five different championships for us to know. But I think, starting now with Austin and next year to do the full season with Formula One, I think there is going to be like really high standards for us to achieve and for us to be pushing the whole time to be on a Formula One level every single weekend.
Yeah, but that's good training. And I think Austin will be kind of a good first run at that. And we're so excited to be there and to cover it and to watch it live. So one question we ask everybody, you've obviously had a super impressive career so far. You've been a trailblazer, especially for women in motorsport in a very male-dominated field. Do you have any advice for women wanting to break in or girls wanting to break in to motorsport, whether that be in driving or be in roles that are more technical focused, engineering, otherwise? Would love to hear your thoughts.
I think it's really important to never accept no as an answer. So if you want to do something, even if they tell you, no, this is not your place, no, you cannot do it, if that's your dream, if you know you're capable of doing it, to push as hard as you want, as hard as you can, in order to get, like, to achieve that dream. Because in the end, there will be a lot of people who will not put their trust in you, who will think this is not your place, this is not the way of doing things, but you need to be the one to trust yourself and to work towards that goal. And I think it's really important as well to have a good team and that works with you, that trusts what you're doing. Because in the end, if you are working and everyone around you is questioning every single thing that you're doing, then it makes no sense to be working towards one goal. If everyone next to you is not on the same page as you and rooting for the same thing.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. And I think it's always a good reminder not to take no for an answer. So I love that. And just to wrap up, we always try to do some fun, quick fire questions. So first one, favorite race this season so far? I know we have one more.
Favorite race, Monza. Monza was okay. A hectic weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure. And good food as well, I bet. So we're heading to Austin. Do you have a favorite American city that you've been to?
Oh, I've lived in Chicago for quite some time, and I have really good friends there. And I'm going to stay in Chicago after Austin, so for sure that's my favorite American city.
I love Chicago. Chicago is so great. Okay, and last one place we have to visit if we went to your hometown. It could be a restaurant, it could be a bar, it could be a park, a museum, anything.
Oh, now that's going to be complicated because I'm from Barcelona.
Yeah, and there's
Barcelona,
so much.
Like, you need to visit everything. You need to visit everything. But I'll say Parkway is my favorite part of Barcelona because it's not only Parkway itself, but it's the views you get of Barcelona from that high part of the city. I think that's the best.
Awesome. Well, I'm hoping to go to Barcelona next year, the year after. I've never been, so that will be on my list. Well, Neus, thank you so much. This was so wonderful chatting, and we can't wait to see you in Austin, and we're cheering you on.
Thank you so much, and see you next month in Austin.